All right, buddy. Well, how are you?
I'm good.
I'm good. Happy Mother's Day, by the way. We're recording this on Mother's Day.
Yeah, you're the best mother I've ever had.
You should not say such things.
Wait, what? Weird. I thought that's what we're
doing. It's a really strange and disturbing thing to say.
Oh, man. I think it's a compliment. You're saying Mother's Day is
you say that,
thing?
But like it is a compliment, and but I feel weird taking it as a compliment. It makes me feel unsettled.
Well, if you were a mother, you'd be great at it.
I would never be a mother. It's not possible for me to be a mother.
I sent you the list of the things that I was thinking about talking about.
Okay. I don't know anything about the second one.
Okay.
We should talk about Mortal Kombat, because man, let me tell you my thoughts on that movie. Okay, we'll just do a little segment. We'll call it the movie review, because we've both seen the movie now. We've both seen the movie.
Yep.
I saw it once, and I'm not gonna see it again. But let me give you my impression of the movie. Okay, so first of all, I gotta say I missed probably like the first 45 seconds to 90 seconds, possibly. So like, you know, whenever like Dogen from Lost was doing stuff in the garden and talking to his wife, I missed that conversation. But I don't think it was very important, because like, first of all, the movie's extremely, extremely predictable. So in the beginning, it's like, okay, this is some sort of character played by a semi-famous actor, and stakes need to be set, so his family's gonna die. And like, it's a famous actor, so like, he's gonna come back. So he gets killed. He gets killed by Sub-Zero. By the way, I really like Sub-Zero in this movie, right? The fact that they made him really, really powerful, I think that was cool. I think he was a cool villain. But the movie... So, like, the opening scene is kind of cool, if a little bit predictable. The fight scenes are actually pretty cool in this movie. And the opening fight scene is, like, there are so many times where the people should have died, but it's Mortal Kombat, so, like, things that should kill you don't kill you. So, you know, that's fine. So the opening scene happens, and then Raiden comes down and takes the baby. And then some years pass, and then we jump to this dude, the main character, Cole. And Cole is the worst character in the whole movie, but he's the main character. And the opening scene of Cole is like, okay, instead of any sort of character development, we're just going to have this character have a family. And this happens in a lot of movies. This happens in a lot of movies. Like, for you to care about, like, for you to template yourself onto the character and care about their struggles, you need to, like, if you don't have enough time or writing skill to actually write out and develop a character such that they're relatable, you just give them a family. So that, like, the stakes of their death feel real, because we all empathize with people who, I guess, families. We don't want to lose our family, right? So this is a common lazy tactic in movies. So, like, okay, so he has a daughter / sister. I thought it was his sister at first. That was just his younger sister. But it's his daughter, I think. Is it his daughter? And then, like, his wife is there, too. And he gets his ass kicked. He's like starting, he's winning the cage match, but then he gets his ass kicked, and he just keeps getting his ass kicked the whole movie. So he gets his ass kicked in the cage match, and then, fuck, what happens after that? He meets Jax, and Jax has his arms, and Jax is like, what's the tattoo you got there? And he's like, it's a birthmark. And then somebody tries to kill him or something, and Jax rescue him? Help me out here. What happens next? Does Jax?
Yes, Sub-Zero's after
right.
him.
Yeah, they try to, Sub-Zero tries to kill him, and then Jax comes in to the rescue, and they meet Sonya. And then I think there's like a fight scene with Jax and Sub-Zero. Because like, again, here's another predictable thing, like, Jax is gonna lose his arms, and he's gonna get metal arms. And right, so the fight with Jax and Sub-Zero happens, and the fight actually kind of starts really cool. And the first, like, third of the movie is actually kind of cool. The first fight scene with Hanzo and Sub-Zero is kind of cool. The fight scene with Jax and Sub-Zero is kind of cool. What other fight scenes are there? The fight scene with Reptile and Kano is cool. That was probably the best scene in the... I think that's the best scene in the movie. But anyway, back to, like, the regular plot. Okay, so, like, they go and they meet Sonya. And Sonya has captured Kano for some reason, but it's not really clear why. She was trying to capture somebody to, like, study... she was trying to capture somebody to study the tournament, but I kept laughing at the scene where she's just explaining everything to Cole, because she seems like a psychopath. she seems like... it seemed like the Pepe Silvia scene in Always Sunny in Philadelphia, where she's got like the board and like all these crazy theories, where like in the text of the film, like, she just happens to be right, but like any sane person listening to her ramblings would think, okay, this woman is fucking insane. So I got distracted by that a little bit. And then, but Kano is there for some reason. I'm not sure why. What, like, she was looking for somebody with the mark, but captured Kano by mistake?
No, no, no. What happened was she was looking for somebody with the mark, and Kano was drug dealer, some guns dealer, really bad guy who ended up killing the guy with the mark. And okay. He got the mark from the guy that had it before.
Why did Sonya capture him and abduct him and imprison him?
Basically because he's a bad guy and he doesn't deserve the mark, but she was already gonna recruit the person that had the mark before. So she's just holding on to this bad guy with the mark now, just so, because he's
okay. So, like, if she witnessed the mark being transferred from, like, whoever Kano killed to Kano, and then she subdued Kano and she abducted him and subdued him, why didn't she just shoot him in the head and, like, have the mark transfer to herself there?
I'm not sure. She had the opportunity multiple
She had so many opportunities, and it goes against her interests to, like, keep him alive, because clearly they're enemies.
Kano is the definition of toxic masculinity, and he should have been dead.
Honestly, I like that Kano was in the movie, and Kano was one of my favorite characters, but the fact that he wasn't just killed immediately, like, before, like, during the altercation that Sonya is describing, like, why wouldn't you just kill him? Why wouldn't you just kill him? Because you need a mark, right? You've discovered that there's this tournament, a tournament we never see, by the way.
you're right, yeah.
There's always, like, this allusion to, like, a tournament that's going to happen, but then, like, all the fighting is, like, we're going to kill you before the tournament starts, so we win by default or something. But then that plan backfires, and then they kill them back, the good guys kill them back, and then, like, the tournament doesn't happen, and it just... the movie's over. But anyway, okay, so, like, Kano's there, and Kano escaped, and then Reptile comes, and Cole continues to be useless. Like, so Reptile comes, and I don't know why is Reptile there? He's trying to kill somebody. Why is Reptile there again?
I forgot who's Reptile.
Reptile is the guy who attacked Sonya and Kano and Cole in the shed. He had the acid and stuff, and... There was the fight scene with Kano where he's invisible, right? And he sticks a firecracker in him to see him.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. And then rips his heart out. Awesome. Awesome. It was pretty cool. But, like, leading up to that fight scene, they're like, who is this guy? And, like, they're all trying to basically defend themselves. So Kano breaks loose with the acid and he gets some sort of weapon, right? And he's fucking Reptile up and eventually kills him. And Sonya has, like, a gun. And then Cole is just, like, he has his fists out. Which, when your comrade is defending themselves and you with a gun and you have your fists out, like, what are you doing? Yeah. What are you even doing? But then he finds a wrench, I guess, and does, like, a little twirl with the wrench. But also, that's only, like, marginally less useless. And I think he gets kicked around a little bit more. And eventually, Kano just kills Reptile. So Cole is continuing to be useless. So they're like, okay, we have to find now. Like Reptile's dead. Next scene is like, okay, so Kano is loose, drinks Sonya's beer, and Sonya's like, you gotta lead us to the temple. Which, I mean, Sonya seems like the expert in this movie. I don't know, if she knows that Kano knows where the temple is. She's done all this research and she knows about the tournament, and she's delivering all of the exposition in the movie. It would make sense that she would know where the temple is, but instead Kano knows where it is, I guess, because he's looking for treasure, right? He's looking for treasure. And then so they go to the tournament, they meet the fire guy. What's his name?
The fire guy. Damn. Lu Shang?
Liu Kang. Liu Kang?
Lu Kang.
Okay,
Sounds like
Liu Kang, Liu Kang's character was pretty cool, like a humble warrior, very cool guy. And then, wait, who's the hat guy? Who's the hat guy?
Damn, that was his brother, but
Liu Kang is the
he
hat guy.
is Liu Kang the hat guy?
I think Liu
Oh.
Kang is the hat guy.
The hat guy was sick. He
Yeah,
was
he was cool. He was cool. And another good scene in the movie. Okay, so they train and stuff, and Raiden's there, and they train for the tournament. And also, they have powers that are going to be unleashed apparently at some point. Let's see, they train a little bit, and Kano's cocky as fuck and gets basically verbally bitch slapped by Liu Kang. That's another great scene in the movie. You should be on your knees, praying to this man. He is your only hope. That was a great scene. That was a good scene. But then, he shoots a laser out of the eyes or whatever. And then all the bad guys come. The bad guys come because apparently they know they're there, and they want to kill all the good guys before the tournament starts. So they get the flying bitch, and they get the teleportation guy,
Flying
and
bitch.
who else? And the guy with the hammer guy. They get the hammer guy, and oh yeah, and Jax is at the temple too. I don't know how Jax ends up at the temple. So apparently they know
They found
Jax.
him.
The temple people find Jax, and Jax is associated with Sonya, but Jax is also associated with the temple people. So why wouldn't Sonya know where the temple is? It doesn't. Okay, so that aside, that doesn't really matter. Okay, so some stuff happens, and they train, and there's a montage of them training. Cole continues to get his ass kicked over and over again because he hasn't unlocked his powers. Oh, they get the Gorgon guy too, and the Gorgon guy comes in and tries to kill his wife and sister slash daughter, and Cole runs up to him and gets swatted away. But then he gets superpowers and kills him with superpowers. So one point to Cole. That was his first victory in the whole fucking movie, but he only achieved it by getting superpowers.
And then at the end he gets the group together. Okay, Raiden
Yeah,
pisses me off.
somehow he's the later,
Raiden
he's the
really
leader.
Raiden no yeah somehow he's like, okay, so they wanna stop us separately, so let's or together, so let's separate them. Like a fucking plan that was so it didn't make much sense
That
how
doesn't make it like his plan doesn't make any sense. He's like, let's come to them and kill them before the tournament starts. If that's your plan, why not just train more? Why not train more in the void
Yeah, no, that's the part where I
and
like
wait
the
until
part
the
that Raiden
tournament
pisses me off.
starts?
He's like, I had the secret hiding spot the whole
Right.
time, but I wanted you guys to be in
Why didn't you
the
train there? Why didn't you train? What's the place called? Is it the void? Or is it the white place? The
Between
in
Realms.
between
It was
the
the
in
realm
between
between
zone.
realms or some shit. Yeah.
You should
It's
have
like,
been just there the whole time and
it
training there
was
until the tournament starts.
like, can I bring my family here? Because that's where
Yeah,
they
how
went
many
after
people
my
can you
family.
bring?
Raiden's like, oh, really? Okay, now that we're in here, where we're safe, yeah,
We're
let's go
safe,
after
yeah.
them. Let's go after them.
Yeah, right.
Like,
Yeah, let's totally abandon this safe place that was sort of just a get out of jail free card that the movie needed to use
yeah.
to transition to the third act. But
See,
okay, but
I didn't see the older Mortal Kombat movies, but finish your analysis.
So Cole makes the plan. Okay, we're gonna leave the safe place to go fight them, even though they were the ones trying to fight us. That was their plan to because they believe they're stronger and they're gonna come and kill us, because they want to fight before the tournament starts. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna go and find them and fight them before the tournament starts.
And he seems to have all the answers. What about Sub-Zero? We'll take him on together. That doesn't happen.
We'll all meet back up and fight Sub-Zero together. Yep. I guess. It's a bad plan.
It's a really bad plan.
It's a bad plan. I guess he needs to, do that, he needs to, have everybody gang up on Sub-Zero, so they don't face them 1v1 in the tournament, because nobody can beat Sub-Zero 1v1, but, if that's true, why not just go for Sub-Zero immediately?
Yeah, plus, the part where they're give me this person, I know what to do with this person, why would the villain send the person you want? What the fuck? Why would they send the person you request to fight?
Right.
Is this the Mortal Kombat?
Anyway, okay, so they leave the safe zone, they go and do their fights, and then there's the final matchup with Sub-Zero. They go to the Sub-Zero realm where his wife is frozen and his daughter too is frozen. So Cole is I gotta get my daughter and wife unfrozen. But he's cool, so he has to punch the ice. So there's all these shots of him in between fights, just turning his back and punching the ice, trying to free his wife.
why didn't Scorpion do that?
I mean, I get Scorpion didn't have any he didn't care about the wife at all. He was just
no.
Out
I'm
for
saying
revenge.
When his wife was getting murdered by Sub-Zero's ice.
Yeah, he should have punched his wife. He should have punched his frozen wife. He didn't do that because he's not retarded, right? He's not totally useless and dumb.
But it worked. Apparently, the Hellfire or something.
But Hanzo's wife was dead, right? Hanzo's wife was dead, but then Sub-Zero, more powerful Sub-Zero, chose not to kill Cole's wife and daughter. Why is beyond me. I guess for dramatic effect, it would take it too far. Cole faces off against Sub-Zero, and he's so useless he can't even beat him alone. It's mainly Scorpion who's killing him, which is fine. But yeah, and then he dies, and the movie's over. I guess, right?
Hanzo turned into Scorpion and killed Sub-Zero, and then they didn't die technically, because they vaporized into the air for the tournament that they never wanted to have.
Yeah, the tournament never happened.
But now the bad guy wants to have the tournament.
Right.
So he vaporized everybody and put him in somewhere, a secret spot.
Then Cole was like, okay, I have to retire from boxing now because I'm a superhero.
Yep. That was nice.
And then there was some sort of cameo or suggestion of somebody being Johnny Cage. That kind of went over my head a little bit. Somebody was Johnny Cage.
The fans are going nuts for that. They're like, I'm glad they saved Johnny Cage for the next movie. I don't even know who Johnny Cage is.
They should have
watched the movie.
No. Okay. No, I've only watched this Mortal Kombat. I don't really care for the other movies.
We're the party.
Yeah, why didn't they just cast... why was Cole in the movie? Cole is not a character in the video game. They should have just had Johnny Cage in the movie. Because I originally thought, this is Johnny Cage, but it's weird because he's Asian. He doesn't look Asian except for in the close-up shots.
Oh, yeah.
But he's definitely Asian. He's he's like an American from Chicago who's Asian.
Yeah,
certainly not. I thought he was Johnny Cage because he's a cage fighter.
Yep, that would make sense.
So they basically wrote in Johnny Cage but changed everything about him and made him like a huge pussy. But yeah, that was Mortal Kombat. Bonus was the scene, I guess, where Jax, like, everybody has the superpowers, right? And they all have their superpowers unlocked. So I thought it was funny when Jax's superpower got unlocked, where, like, he has the weak robot arms, but then, like, magic happens and the weak robot arms turned into strong robot arms. But that's not magic. That's just, like, I guess it is magic, but whatever. the machine turns into a different machine.
Yeah.
Magically. But it's not really him doing it. I don't know. The movie was fine. I think it probably gets, like, it's probably a 6 out of 10 movie, and it's fine. But there were many parts that were stupid. Like, Cole's character shouldn't have been in the movie. He definitely shouldn't have been the main character.
Yeah, they needed a main character. But, like, the main character was Hanzo, and he was chilling in hell for all that time.
The main character should have been Hanzo, right?
Yeah.
But the main character of the movie was Cole.
Yeah.
Cole was the main character, but he was such a shit character that...
Yeah. Sub-Zero's my favorite character. I mean,
Sub-Zero was cool. Yeah, because Sub-Zero was cool.
No pun intended. But no, I'm saying he was my favorite character in the fighting games, and he probably still is, but, like, now I have more respect for Scorpion. Because that little story they have, like, the story of Sub-Zero killing everybody and his wife and kids and everything. So now,
One thing I liked is during, like, the really gratuitous deaths, they had the fatality music playing. Like, that was kind of cool. They had the fatality sound effect.
But I didn't like the part where they would say it, like, out loud themselves. Like, what the fuck?
Oh, no, I thought that was cool, too, where the framing was, like, a victory pose, where it's, like, Kano wins. That was cool. I liked that.
No, the part where, like, when they finish somebody, and then they're the ones yelling out, fatality. Like, they killed them, they did the murdering, and they're saying
So who...
They said flawless. The hat guy said flawless after killing that winged girl, that girl that flew.
Yeah, who's the teleportation guy? What's his name? But basically, when he's dying, when he's burning alive, he says fatality to himself.
No way.
Right. I could have swore that happened. Like, the big dragon comes out and he lights on fire. And he tells himself fatality. Right? Did I hallucinate that?
That Liu Kang turned into a dragon and killed someone, and then he manifested.
I don't think Liu Kang said fatality. I think his opponent said fatality when he was being fatality.
That would not make sense.
It wouldn't make any sense. Maybe it didn't happen.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Man. But anyway, that's my thoughts on the movie. Probably like 6 out of 10. It was kind of stupid in parts.
I was really hype about it when I first
You said it was a 10 out of 10.
I really, because I haven't seen any Mortal Kombat movies, but then when I think about movies in general and I think about this movie, there's a lot of parts that was like, okay, that makes no sense. Like, Raiden, bro, like, you're the god, like, and you're just going to not fight this whole time?
I don't want to interfere. We don't interfere.
The fuck, dude?
But, like, clearly you do interfere. You interfere a shitload. You zap people into walls. You create force field barriers. You steal rescue babies. Random babies. Like, you interfere, dog. You really, it's fine. Like, it's fine. Interfere some more.
Bro.
What are the stakes? Everyone on planet Earth is enslaved? Yeah, now is the time to interfere.
Yep.
And then you have, like, the audacity to get pissed at these people for, like, coming to your dojo weak. You're like, you have no chance. But, like, also, I'm not going to interfere, but you have no... these are the warriors that you've brought to me. This one doesn't even have a marking. You're all fucked. Zapped into a wall. Kano zapped into a wall. And then, like... Yeah. But later on, it's like, I don't interfere. I'm just going to create a force field, and, like, I don't fight. But my arch enemy is going to suck the soul out of, I guess, my kin. It was unclear whether or not they were all fam. but for some reason I imagined the hat guy as like the hat guy and the fire guy. I imagined them as like Raiden's children, but that was probably not correct. Probably they all not. Lived in they all lived the in warriors, the same house.
But I don't think this movie could hold a candle to the former movies, because like there's so much more to the older movies, and there's so much more characters. This just seemed like a mediocre cast of like four characters. So.
It was a fine movie though. Like there were some cool parts. There were some cool parts.
There was
the first part of the Jax fight where he where Jax like fires the gun and like the bullets freeze in midair.
That was sick.
Like in his face. That was sick. That was sick. I mean Kano ripping Reptile's heart out. That was sorry. Bless me. That was pretty cool. Like generally the Kano and Reptile fight was probably the best one in the movie, where he's invisible but then he sticks a firecracker in him to see him. That was cool. Yeah. That was cool.
Oh yeah.
But there were in a lot of scenes though, there were so many jump cuts where like you couldn't really see what was happening. It was sort of like that scene in The Boys where Maeve is training and it has like those silly jump cuts. Like you can't really see any, you can't really see the contact of the hits because it cuts every time. But that itself was like a parody of action scenes in general. But yeah, I think Mortal
Kombat. Mortal Kombat. And honestly, I think we just discovered a very great segment of our podcast, which
shitting all over movies.
No, subpar movies apart. I like that.
I guess. Tearing okay. Yeah, apart. we can tear apart more movies. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we can also compliment it a little bit. but no, I mean.
Yeah, like, yeah. Sure. Be fair.
Harsh but fair. I mean, there are movies. Did you ever have any movies that were 10 out of 10 in your book?
Oh, yeah. There's a couple. 10 out of 10s are rare, though. 10 out of 10s are really, really rare.
As they should be.
Yeah, as they should be, right? I think Synecdoche was a 10 out of 10.
Gotta watch that. Haven't watched
it. I don't know. I don't think Waking Life was 10 out of 10. It was certainly a good movie, but it probably wasn't 10 out of 10. There's a couple Steve McQueen movies that are 10 out of 10. Not dead Steve McQueen. There's a black director, Steve McQueen, directed a movie called Hunger, and that's pretty close to being a 10 out of 10. There's a few 10 out of 10s out there.
Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to think of some myself.
Well, we can table that for now. Well, like, what did you want to say about Billie Eilish? What's your Billie Eilish beef?
Oh, Billie Eilish.
I don't pay attention. There's some sort of controversy with her.
And I don't think there's controversy. She's just I just saw a picture of her. She recently posed for Vogue magazine, and I've known of her. I mean, I never really listened to her music.
That's strange. Isn't Vogue like for attractive people?
She's really attractive, actually. Now that like I didn't because she had the baggy teenage girl vibe for a long time.
No, she is not attractive. Hold on.
Okay, you're looking at the Vogue pictures
where she's blonde.
She's blonde. Yeah, she's blonde.
Yeah, she just doesn't have an attractive face.
Hmm. Well, that is I would disagree with that. I think she's beautiful. She's pretty. She has her hair is now not green anymore. I like blonde girls, but she's pretty. She's a pretty girl. She's also hacking some she's sexy. She's sexy and pretty, and she was the thing that's not what I wanted to talk about technically. I wanted to talk about the fact that she rose to fame so fast. And when I was trying to figure out why, apparently it was because of one song. She used to upload songs on SoundCloud a lot, and none of them really got a hit. But then her and her brother did a song called, well, her brother wrote it, didn't write it. I think he helped her record it. It was a cover called Ocean Eyes. She put on SoundCloud, and she rose to fame overnight.
That's Billie Eilish? I've heard Ocean Eyes.
Yeah, Ocean Eyes. Yep, the new one. Yeah, it's her. There's most. I think it's a cover though.
That's yeah, I mean, that's a really good song. She's really a good singer. Song. She's a good singer. She's a
really good singer. Yeah, she really is.
That and Bad Guy is a pretty good song. Like with the hook.
Bad Guy's a yep. It's a really good song.
It's catchy as hell.
It is catchy as hell. Yep.
I just don't think she's physically attractive though.
Well, it's okay. I mean, I do, but like I never thought before she was like she. When I saw the Vogue pictures, I'm like, okay, holy, she's hot. She's 19 years old and. She's getting rid of the baggy clothes girl. I mean, she had some issues with body shaming because of the internet. So she was like, okay, fuck you guys. I'm going to show you what my body actually looks like.
Let me just make sure I'm looking at the same person. I'm going to share my screen.
All right.
So these are the Vogue pictures you're talking about where she's blonde, right? Okay, yeah. This has Vogue on it.
Yep. That's one of them.
She sort of has like almost like an Amy Winehouse kind of vibe.
Well, that's a modest picture from Vogue. I mean, where's the ones with she's wearing lingerie and everything. Yeah, she's
okay,
pretty.
So that's,
I mean, if we're just talking.
I don't think she's. Face, I mean, her, she is pretty. I guess yeah. I guess she's pretty.
I mean,
Don't get it twisted. I would be very very happy to date Billie Eilish, right?
Yeah,
that'd be fine. That'd be great. Oh, it would be a fine experience.
Not just because of her money, because that's not what.
Yo, she could just sing. She could sing to me and stuff. This is a good picture. She looks attractive here, and I think she looks very attractive here.
There you go. Yep.
But this,
yep. Even with the green hair, but blonde. Maybe blonde isn't your thing. Maybe
like her. I can't really put it into words. Her proportions are weird. I think.
And
that
her eyes
look lazy.
Yeah, she has. She seems like she has.
She looks attractive in this picture. This is a good picture.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's been
but yeah, I don't.
She's beautiful.
Her lips are too big.
Yeah, yeah, I got problems with girls with too small lips. Their lips are too small. So, yeah, I know. I gotcha. But okay, look at that one. The book.
This is a good picture. This is a. You know what? This is a good look for her.
You wanted to go back to the green hair. Wow. Okay. You're not a fan of blondes. I'm pretty sure by now you're not a fan of blondes.
You know what? I am a fan of whatever makes Billie Eilish happy. You know, if she wants green hair, then she should have green hair. If she wants blonde hair, let her have blonde hair.
Yeah. I'm not really. Oh,
that's
I'm not,
my thing.
Like, I would tell her, but I don't think she would give a shit what I say.
But
like the green hair with the black hair kind of looks odd. Like, there's green on the top, and then
this,
the black.
This is, like, this is a great picture. This right here.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great picture, but I could do without the hair that color.
You don't like the hair.
No. She actually looks kind of like my ex in that picture, but the hair, no.
So you do, so, like, your ex was pretty.
Yeah, she was.
She wouldn't have been, like, well, she wasn't your ex at one point. She was, like, a girl you were attracted to.
If she wasn't my ex? Wait, what?
No, I'm saying that your ex was not always your ex. She was at one point a girl you were very much attracted to.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Right. Dude, so if she looks, if Billie Eilish looks like your ex, I'm sort of using the associative property here.
Yeah. Yep, yep. Then of course I'd find her attractive. So, yeah, but not that's not okay. So the reason why I wanted to, like, you don't know of Billie Eilish like that either. Like I don't get the big deal. I mean, like, she's very, very famous now, and it's only in a matter of a couple of years, and it happened because she put on a cover. She put on a song, a cover.
Well, Bad Guy came out a couple of years ago, right?
Yep. So, but she's made tons of music by now. But the thing is, it's like I know. I mean, my favorite artist at the moment, that's a girl, is not as big, and I think her music is better. So, like,
who's that?
Her, Katie Melu, she's a female artist. I mean, she's probably my favorite artist at the moment of all time. Katie Melu, she makes really good music, but it's not as famous as Billie Eilish. So I was like trying to figure out
how do you spell her?
Melua.
See, okay, well, I didn't put it into words before, but I don't think Billie Eilish is model material. This girl is model. Yeah, like this.
Let me see the pictures you're looking at. Share your screen.
Hold on.
And look at Katie Melody.
Yeah, I don't think Billie Eilish is model material. I think she's a very talented musician. She's a very, very skilled singer. But this girl is model material. This is a girl. She's gorgeous. Yes. Hold on. Yes.
That's camera. Let's see. Where
this girl's gorgeous.
Yeah, she is gorgeous. I wish I was.
Maybe it's just like an age thing.
I wish she was my wife. Yeah.
Because Billie Eilish is just so young. You know, oh, she's 36 years old. So this girl is 30. Katie
Melu.
I don't know.
Melu.
Oh, she's Georgian.
She's British. You know, I like British girls.
Georgian British. So yeah, like British. She's mixed.
Yeah.
Georgian girls are so beautiful too.
I can't see your screen, by the way.
You can't. What is going on, dude? Hold on. Let me try again. Go live. How about now?
Nope.
What is going on?
Do.
No can do.
Okay.
How about now?
Nope. Okay. No problem. It's okay.
It's fine.
I'm gonna send you. Yeah, she's gorgeous.
Yeah, this girl is absolutely gorgeous.
Sure. She has a beautiful voice, and she sings really soothing music most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Peaceful, calm music, and she's British, and she. So,
okay.
But she's so talented. She's so talented, and she's not like. I guess she's not super provocative or something. Maybe that's why. But she's really underrated. So I'm really confused.
Okay.
Why Billie Eilish is overrated in a way, and.
I think Billie Eilish is overrated. Like, you know who? You know, there was another artist that came and went and sort of fell by the wayside. Zella Day
was good. Yeah.
Zella Day was so talented.
Smoking. She was hot, but her voice was really good. Her music was. Yeah, her
like,
music.
That
was
acoustic like, session. She is extremely, extremely talented, and she played guitar. I don't know if Billie Eilish plays guitar or anything. Does Billie Eilish play any instruments, or does she just sing?
I think she might be playing an instrument. I'm not sure. Don't know that much about her, but
I think Zella Day should have been way more famous.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that. I don't know how fame gets decided. It's weird because like they put like. Here's the thing, like, let's make it a fact, okay? nothing is guaranteed. Like, you could put as much hard work, effort into something, and you probably won't get recognized as much as somebody else who puts probably minimal work into it. Like, for the reason why I'm saying that is because, like, we're making a podcast right now. We might not ever get that hype train or, like, get to that stage in our life where, like, yeah, we're making... a really
look,
decent
bro,
amount of money
look,
off of it.
Look,
I don't care, but if
you
it
care?
Happens it happens, if it doesn't it doesn't. I mean, but I care enough to make it to try to make it happen, you know what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah,
yeah. I don't care enough to feel shitty about it if it doesn't happen, so
I can dial into that vibe, brother.
Yeah. Thanks. Okay, well, I'm sending you, like, not now, but you can listen to this is my favorite song from
I'll check her out, dude.
But here's the thing, here's the other thing, that the reason why I wanted to talk to Bill about Billie Eilish. So she did she did that photo shoot with Vogue, right? And that I just recently heard about it, like a few days ago, and then I was researching, I swear to God, I'm researching like with videos on YouTube about it, and the one of the reporters about like E! Entertainment said that she posted a picture on Instagram of her photo shoot, one picture, and it got over a million views or million likes within like 6 minutes, right? So I heard this thing all the time. Don't compare yourself to other people. Don't do it. And I get
don't
that
don't compare
part.
Yourself never... to Billie Eilish, dude.
No, but here's the thing. I never got it until I got it. I got it because like the whole day I'm fucking jealous of Billie Eilish. I'm like, why is she so famous?
Dude,
why is she so
why
rich?
You, why is
she getting
envious of Billie Eilish? That, she has like a whole team behind her. At
it's
this
such
point.
A silly fucking emotion, jealousy or whatever. It comes from nowhere. I'm like comparing myself to someone that is like a like
a fucking major celebrity. You're comparing major yourself celebrity. To a major celebrity.
Major celebrity, like major celebrity who has record deals and all this stuff, and like, and it's like, why do I get that feeling of being envious or jealous? If
you
it's like,
are you trying? Are you trying to be a female celebrity, dude?
Not anytime soon.
Are you trying to be a female singer?
Nope, I saw Bruce Jenner did it. I'm fine. I'll live through. I'll
Bruce Jenner was an athlete first, dog. Come on. Okay, don't be disrespectful.
No, but please. Wait, what do you mean? She is now doing her big thing.
You said Bruce. So are we referring to Bruce or Caitlyn
Jenner? Caitlyn Jenner. My bad. That was misinsert. My bad. That was an accident. But Caitlyn Jenner, I'll live through her.
Can we just stop talking about Caitlyn Jenner? Out of all the trans people we could be talking about, Caitlyn Jenner is like the worst trans person.
Oh, okay. That's a topic. What's why would you say that? Why is she the worst? Comparable to others. I mean,
we could talk about who's the lead singer of Against Me. We could talk about ContraPoints. We could talk about the Philosophy Tube girl. We could talk about so many people who like have cultural influence, but like not the level of fame that Caitlyn Jenner has. But like the way that Caitlyn Jenner has used her fame and cultivated her fame. She's only famous now for being a trans person. I guess she was a famous athlete when she was a man, but like she doesn't want to be recognized for her male life, I guess. But I don't know. Anybody who rises to fame via like the Kardashians is, I don't know. That's
toxic.
I don't think it's really worth discussing at all.
Toxic. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, yeah. No.
She doesn't add anything to the conversation. She's not like, she doesn't add anything important. And she did a bunch of interviews with Fox News where, I don't know. I don't know, dude. She's not important.
Okay. I can respect that. I mean, I don't really.
there are trans creators who further the conversation and mm-hmm. who the fact that they're trans is relevant. Like, I think her name is Laura Jane Grace, the lead singer of Against Me, which is a band you should check out, by the way.
Yep, I'm looking at it right now.
Is a trans woman.
Yep.
And the way in which she sings, it's like it's a male and female at the same time.
Hmm.
It's a really, really, really interesting listening experience that could only really come from a trans person. And it's like, honestly, really, really incredible from an artistic standpoint. But like, Caitlyn Jenner is like, why is she famous?
It could be because she was
I think she's only famous because she's associated with the Kardashians.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, that would make sense. I mean, her voice was heard more than others.
She's basically hogging the platform and saying nothing. Hmm. Right. And that pisses me off.
But I mean, what do you expect her to do? Not get on the platform at all? I mean, she has a voice.
I don't know. I should really maybe pay attention to what she says more.
I
don't really know what her politics are. She doesn't.
Yeah.
I think she's I think she's a Republican, which is odd. But
yeah,
I mean, she transitioned from like a major athlete to a celebrity, a professional celebrity.
Okay.
What even is like the job title of a Kardashian? Professional reality TV star?
I thought you said professional slut.
Yeah, professional celebrity.
No, I thought you said professional slut.
Oh, no.
So that's what you said. I would be messed up. But no.
That would be messed
Kardashians
up.
Kardashians are basically...
I mean, professional celebrity is absurd. That's an absurd title, which I just made up.
No, it's basically a reality TV show. I mean...
Yeah, reality TV star.
Reality TV star that enough people watched... It's so petty, man. Whatever they talk about on the Kardashians, it's like, but then there's people, millions of people listening to their petty arguments and shit. I mean, reality TV, even Jersey Shore, bro, it's still going on. It's still
no. I have a theory. Is Jersey Shore still around?
Well, they have a variation. Was canceled. They transition to another type of shore.
The different shore, Florida, Miami shore.
Whatever, they're still like in the like in each other's lives talking about silly shit. So it's like,
sure, okay.
I don't understand. What is that?
I think the fascination comes from this like innate desire for fame, but also like, I don't know. That's an interesting conversation to have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like where this fascination with like vapid celebrity comes from.
What was that word you used?
Vapid celebrity. Vapid.
What does that mean?
Yeah. Largely just empty and devoid of any intellectual or cultural value.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
oh man, let's do a segment. It's called Look Up the Definition of a Word. Word of the day. Okay. Can I get a jingle? Give me a jingle. Give me a jingle for word of the day.
The word of, oh, I thought we were doing vapid.
We are doing vapid. Verb, not fapid.
Vapid is faps, fapping, or fapped. Instead of vulgar slang to masturbate.
Vapid is an adjective. Faffering.
Okay.
Not fapid, not F-A-P-I-D. Vapid, V-A-P-I-D.
Yeah.
V is in very, A is in airy, P is in Perry,
gotcha.
I is in...
Gotcha. Okay.
Right.
Insipid.
Yeah, essentially.
Just describing it. It's
offering
it's
nothing
describing
that is stimulating or challenging. Yeah.
Yeah.
Empty. Think of vapor. Think vapor.
Okay.
Think of vapor. Yeah. If water vapor had a personality, it would be vapid. Yeah.
Basically. Okay.
Anyway.
Oh, cool.
Now that segment's over, fucking incorporate that into your fucking lexicon, bitches.
There we go.
Impress.
We're calling our audience bitches, huh?
That's correct.
I apologize for my partner here. He does not. He does
this
not.
This man is not my partner. We're not.
Not sexual partner. Business partner. Jesus, dude, you're my mother.
He slipped out because he's got an Oedipus complex. Now he's calling me his mother.
I would never have a partnership. Okay. Anyways, Let's see. What's the next topic? I have a couple more.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff you wanted to talk about.
Okay.
I just got a haircut.
Having short hair.
Yeah.
Having short hair versus having long hair. What's the general consensus?
I feel the wind more. I feel the wind a little bit more. It's a different sensation. I no longer wake up with hair in my face, which is sort of nice. Like, I would wake up for the last 2 years up until very recently. I would wake up and I would see nothing but my hair. And, it was just a dense forest of brown threads obstructing my vision. And now it's like, oh, there's nothing there. There's like a few flecks up top because it's a little bit long in the top with the bangs. But I can totally see. I don't have to fucking... I don't have to do that in the morning. I can do the whole head shake and it's all gone. But I can't braid it anymore. Let's see. Washing it is like less of an ordeal. Like there's something about like running your fingers through your hair when it's long where it feels like so much more satisfying. But now it's like... And there are short bits that are, like they feel... like scabby almost, and it's not great. I feel like I'm more vulnerable to blunt forces, you know, like before when I had the long hair it was like a helmet almost, which I need because I'm always bumping into stuff, but now I bump into stuff and there's no cushion to protect me, so I have all these cuts and scrapes all over my scalp now. Not really, but but yeah, I don't know, man. It's fine. My hair is significantly shorter now because I miss it, but like you know, there's no point missing it because I can't. It's not like I can get it back. I could buy a wig, I guess, but that would look pretty weird. What I should have done is I shouldn't have donated my hair. I should have just said to the person, "Yo, fucking, just make this shit into a wig."
Oh, you did donate. You did,
of course.
Donate.
Of course, I did.
How did you get like the barber shop? They just was like, okay, yeah, we'll.
I called a bunch of places and I was like, can you donate my hair? And they were like, yeah. Eventually, there was one who was yeah. So I donated it.
Nice,
I can actually send you the picture. of them, because they had to braid it first, and then they had to chop it off.
Oh shit.
Yeah, I'll send you the picture. They had to comb it out real nice, and then they braided it, and then they cut the braid and put it in a bag.
Oh, but word. Okay.
It was long. Yeah. It was long as fuck, man. It was, you know, it was down to like past my shoulder blades.
Okay. Yeah, dude. No, I saw it. It might feel like, yeah, you're now naked and you miss a part of yourself or something.
Yeah.
Eventually, yeah, that's how I felt, because
I can no longer slap people with my beautiful mane. I can't contain all of my hair on my head in one big knot. I can't like let it down after a long day, because that's like really cool to do too. It's like, any ladies out there listening, you know when you like have your bra on for a 16-hour day and then you take it off and you let your big slappy floppies like just let them free?
What the fuck is the big slappy floppies? Why?
You know what big slappy floppies are.
They're not, don't call them that. That's mean.
It's not. It's beautiful. There's nothing like a pair of big slappy floppies.
If I was a woman, I would not want him to be called that.
Well, you're a fat man, so it's close enough.
I'm not fat, bro.
You have a pair of big flappy sloppies.
I do.
You haven't showed them to me yet, but I know they're there. I've seen them under your shirt. There's no hiding.
I do not have big flappy sloppies, and I don't think beautiful women have big slappy floppies.
Oh, they certainly do. They certainly do. I've seen them myself.
They're not flappy
just
or
one
floppy.
Or two times. No, slappy. They're not slappy. I did not say sloppy. Don't besmirch. I said slappy floppies. What did I say? Because floppy, maybe I need to rescind that. Anyway, you know the feeling you get when you let loose the girls after 16 hours of having that restraining bra on?
Yes.
It's liberating. It's liberating. Honestly, you know, I don't think women should wear bras. I think it's restrictive and it's an extra cost that women have to incur. I think we should normalize having just women go braless all the time. And like, sure, they sag as you get older, but like, there's no failure in that. You know, there's no failure in getting older. We should embrace and normalize that too. So the bra industry, we need to fucking abolish it. It needs to go down. Even Victoria's Secret. I'll take that L. I'll take that L. what I'm saying is, like, letting down your hair at the end of the day, I imagine it's the same thing. It feels good after a long day of like having it up the whole day. Actually, girls have long hair. They know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't even need to draw the analogy to tits. I don't even need to do the tits analogy. I can just say, girls, you know, when you let down your hair at the end of the day,
oh my God,
that's what it feels like to let down your hair.
Yeah, you could.
I missed that.
Too.
Anyway, I missed that. I missed letting my hair down.
I realized it and just realized that and let out an atrocious, like, what is that guy? Elmo breath. Laugh. I was like,
yeah. Yeah.
Elmo laugh.
Elmo laugh creeps me out a little bit.
Yeah, man. Elmo creeps me out sometimes. But no, I think there's more creepier Sesame Street characters.
Big Bird. Yeah, Big Bird. Big Bird, fucking Oscar the Grouch. What was he doing there? Why?
They're both cool. There's gotta be.
You know, fucking Oscar the Grouch lived in a trash can his whole. That was his home, a trash can. I'd be pissed off too. I'd be pissed and then like everybody was just telling him like, why are you such a grouch? Motherfucker, I live in a trash can.
But he wants to. He wants to live in
Does
a
he
trash
want
can.
To live in a trash can?
Yeah, he doesn't like clean places. He's a fucking crazy person.
I'm not familiar with the Sesame Street lore. It's been a long time
he
since
was
I've watched
like,
the show.
He doesn't like clean people.
Is that so? We pull up the fucking pull up the Sesame Street wiki.
He would probably catch coronavirus if he was a real person. You know, on purpose, because he likes
it. He would catch it on purpose. He would catch it on purpose.
Yeah, he likes living in filth. That's his thing. What was your favorite, what is it?
I was a big fan of Cookie Monster. Maybe Bert and Ernie. Cool. Specifically, Bert and Ernie were, like, gay together, right? And, like, One of them was like the man and the other was the woman.
Were they?
And one of them, like, Bert and Ernie was like, one of them was like, sort of like the straight man, and the other would get on the other's nerves.
Hmm. Yeah, I think the straight man would have been.
I can't tell them apart. I mean, I can tell them apart, but I don't know which one is named which.
Yeah, I forgot their name.
One of them has the long head, and one of them has like the round head. And one of them is Bert, one of them is Ernie.
Long round. Yep, I know.
One had an oval head.
How did you know they were gay? They never said anything about that.
They never said it. It was implicit. It was implied.
Ah, okay. Trying to think who was the creepiest character, though, because, like, they all
the creepiest
normal.
Character was, whenever they would have humans on.
Oh, yeah, that was right.
That was always been really weird. I guess, the vampire guy was cool. What was his name?
Count, okay, he's probably
the Count.
The creepiest. Count,
he really
Count
liked
Dracula.
Numbers.
Yeah. Yep.
That was his thing, numbers, and living in a castle, and, bats. He liked bats, I guess. He would count the bats.
Damn, PBS Kids, man. In Barney, there was a couple characters I fucking hated, like those two sisters or siblings. Those they were dragons. They kind of looked like dragons.
Because they were supposed to all be fucking dinosaurs. Why do they have dragons on the shows? Why you gotta make it mystical?
What was that?
Don't make it mystical. Don't try to inject mystery and like fucking fantasy into Barney.
No, it's cool. It was.
Why am I upset? I'm not really upset at this.
They had really just annoying voices. The little dragon lady things.
It was a fucking children's show, dog.
Yeah, but they were. Oh my god, their voices were like.
I remember, like as soon as I wasn't a tiny child, I hated Barney. For some reason, like as soon as I was like 8 years old. Barney's for babies. Fuck Barney. That was my stance on Barney. Like, 6 year old, I was all about Barney. Barney's my jam. What was the fucking song he played? I love you, you love me, we're a happy family, and then fucking clean up. 10 minutes left on the fucking show. We're all gonna clean up. That was my fucking jam at 6 years old. 7 years old, we didn't have a TV. 8 years old, Barney's for babies. Fuck Barney. Fuck anybody. Like, murder everyone who watches Barney and enjoys Barney. Did a complete 180 on Barney. And, you know, my parents, anytime, if you, you know, we're not going to have my parents on the show. But if you call my parents and you say, hey, can you corroborate this story? Did Jake fucking hate Barney? They'll be like, no, he loved Barney. But then be like, but he hated Barney eventually, and then they'll think and be like, oh yeah, Jake fucking hated Barney after he loved Barney. Go ahead.
No, did you swear at your parents if they try to make you watch it?
I don't think I knew swear words when I was angry at Barney. There's this phase of childhood where like you don't have the words to. You're angry. Maybe this is just me. You're angry, but you don't know swear words. that awkward time between like 7 and 8 where you're really upset and there's like this angst, but you don't know any of the swear words.
How do people express frustration and anger if they don't know swear words?
Just screaming.
Just start mumbling and
punching and I don't know.
I've seen my nephew hit himself. Like he's 4 years old, so
yeah.
If he knew how to curse and he can get away with it, instead of slapping himself in the face multiple times, he probably.
You know what I think? Like, I think your 4 year old cousin. What's his name?
Armand.
I think Armand just needs violent video games, dude. I think he needs violent video games.
Well, then he says shit like I'm gonna kill your son. To my brother, like he's 4 years old and the son is like a baby. My
bro, I think you need to. I think you need to put that kid in like a concrete square until.
Yeah,
forever. Does he ever play with bones? Does he ever like play with animal bones out in the yard? And...
No. One of the funniest stories my sister told me recently was, so she's like, I was cleaning around the house and I was cleaning near his bedroom and I heard him say, oh, my baby. And it was a teddy bear under his bed. And he's like, oh, my baby. And she said he picked him up and put him in his bed and
slept next to him, and then she's still cleaning, and the next thing she hears is, "I'm gonna slit your throat."
That kid needs to be put away, dog. He needs to be put away. Listen, I'm not a doctor, but that's not right. That's not okay.
After
that boy ain't right.
After he says that, he says, "I'm gonna take out your eyeball."
Yeah, that. How old was he? How old was the child he was talking to?
He's 4 years old. Oh, he wasn't a child. He was talking to a teddy bear.
He was talking to a teddy bear.
Yep, that's okay. He's 4 years old.
So it wasn't like his infant.
No.
It was in his infant.
He wasn't talking
sibling.
To a child. No. Okay. He was talking to his teddy bear.
He was talking to his own teddy bear. Okay.
After
did he do it? Did he take the eyes out? Did he slit the teddy bear's
throat? He was
throat?
Trying. I think he had something, but it wasn't a knife. I think it was a ruler or something, and he was trying to slit the throat and take out the eyeballs. And at that point, my sister ran out of the house screaming.
Called the cops on a 4-year-old with a ruler?
Just kidding. She's like, "I didn't know what to do. I just took the ruler and told him to go to sleep."
Him to go to sleep. Okay, well, you know.
And then the next day,
yes.
The next day, my sister-in-law starts talking to me about all these psychopaths and killers and serial killers.
Research because she was upset. She saw the writing on the wall.
No, this was my sister-in-law, not my sister. So I was just having a conversation with my sister-in-law about all of these crazy serial killers, and I'm like, damn, I really hope none of my family members turn like that. That'd be oh my god. But hopefully.
Well, careful what you wish for, buddy.
I don't want them to turn like that.
That's the opposite. My bad. This episode's been going for like an hour and 7 minutes.
We should wrap it up.
We shouldn't fucking knock it on the head. Go get some lunch and eat something.
Yeah. That sounds like a plan.
You got any last words to this fucking audience that we have?
Yes, my last words are last words.
All right, last words. Okay, later, fuckers.